3. 2 Timothy 3, I want to use this as a starting point today. Second Timothy 3, of course, the last letter that Paul wrote was 2 Timothy. And he wrote it to Timothy as kind of a departing letter. And I've always looked at it as Paul kind of passing the mantle to Timothy. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. And so he's preparing Timothy to carry on the ministry that he received from the Lord and from the Apostle Paul. And in chapter 3, there's some things said there about the last days. Now, throughout the ages, people have always tried to identify the last days. And it appears to me, just through reading, that everybody that believes the Bible believe that during their lifetime they were in the last days. And I would fall in that category as well. Paul said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. A couple of weeks ago, I was teaching from this passage, I guess it was the week before the election, on our Thursday night Bible study. And I mentioned on there, and I've mentioned this before, that when Paul says in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be, and then he lists all of those things there, as I read those things, the thought that comes to my mind is that as far as I can tell, there's never been a time in the history of mankind that those things weren't true. And yet Paul kind of identifies or qualifies the statement in verse 5 when he says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, some such turn away. Now that verse within itself is a message or two, but that's not what we want to look at this morning. But what I want you to do, what I do want you to notice is there is a possibility that what Paul is talking about there, since he says they have a form of godliness, well, we know the rebellious, lost world out there, the idolatrous world, most of them don't have any form of godliness. They are ungodly, deny God and everything else. But there is a system in our world that has a form of godliness, but not the power. The power being the Word of God, the truth of God's Word. As Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The reason I want to start here is because one of the traits that Paul lists here for those perilous times, I find somewhat unusual. Because when he says they're going to be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, then he lumps unthankful right there with unholy. And I believe if there's that single trait alone is a mark of the society, the world that we live in today. Obviously, there's unholiness, but he links it there and he says, unthankful and unholy. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I want to talk to you about thankfulness, but I want to start out by talking to you about unthankfulness. Because I see that as a major attribute of many, many people today. And it's been demonstrated recently in a way that is very vocal or very visible. But people in general are unthankful, not appreciative of what they have. I can say this, I don't care what the political party that was in power has been in my lifetime, there's never been a time that I was unthankful for living in the United States of America. I've always been thankful that I lived in the greatest country on planet Earth. And who was president never changed that. Who was in control of the Senate, Congress, whatever, never changed that. It might have changed my views about certain things, but it never changed my thankfulness for living in this country, being born in this country, being raised in this country. I've only been out of this country twice, once in Mexico and once in Canada. I'd recommend Canada. You know, when all these people were promising to leave the country about the election, you didn't hear many saying they were going to Mexico. They all said they're going to Canada. Well, Canada don't want you. We were up there for about a week, and they sent us back. Somebody was getting up a trip to the Holy Land a while back, contacted me and wanted to know if I wanted to go to the Holy Land. I said, I thought I was already there. I said, you ever been to Chattanooga, Tennessee? He said, no, never have. I said, well, Jim, you need to come on down there. That's the Holy Land. That's where we are. I've never had a great desire. Now, there are some places I would like to go to, but I first would like to see everything I want to see in America, and that's never going to happen. All the things on my bucket list aren't going to get accomplished. But folks, listen, we live in a land filled up with unthankful people. In Romans chapter 1, it's interesting again because Paul is talking about people that knew God but glorified Him not as God. Notice there in verse 18, he said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." There is no better example of that than the nation Israel, who after all that God had done for them, the Bible said, they murmured, they spoke against God, they rebelled against God, they went back into idolatry in spite of everything that God had done for them. And one of the traits that marks that is what is said here, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. You see, there are multitudes of people today that claim to be atheists or agnostic or whatever, and generally their rationale is that the God that we worship, if he's doing certain things, and they'll always say like, you know, making people sick, causing people to die and that kind of thing, then they don't want to worship a God like that. Well, the fact is that people's misconception of God is because they don't believe the Bible, and even if they do believe the Bible, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, you don't really understand how God is operating today and how God has operated throughout the ages. Now, unthankfulness. I looked that word up in the one of the dictionaries or commentaries, and the word, I won't try to pronounce it, but the definition had to do with persons without grace or gratefulness. Now listen to this definition. Who think they have a right to the services of all men, yet feel no obligation and consequently no gratitude. Does that sound familiar, folks? Does that sound the least bit like people in America today? Matthew Henry's commentary, I guess it was written back in the 1800s. The only reason I have this is because it's on my computer and I can cut and paste and don't have to write all this stuff down. But he said in regard to unthankfulness, he says, unthankfulness and unholiness are what make the times perilous. And now remember, this was written back in the 1800s. And these two commonly go together. What is the reason that men are unholy and without the fear of God, but that they are unthankful for the mercies of God? Ingratitude and impiety go together. For call a man ungrateful and you can call him by no worse name. Unthankful and impure, defile with fleshly lust, which is an instance of great gratitude to what God, who has provided so well for the support of his body. We abuse what he has given us if we make those things the food and the fuel of our lust. Now, that's a mouthful, but it says quite well what unthankfulness really is. Unthankful, he says, and unholy. Ingratitude. Now, you can live your life and you can look around and find all kind of situations and things that you're unthankful for. On the other hand, you can try to take your focus and place it upon the things that you are thankful for, and I'll guarantee you it'll change your life. If you dwell upon the things, the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, rather than what we don't have. My dad used to say, being poor is no disgrace. It's just awfully inconvenient at times. But we never had a whole lot when I was a child. I was back there at my desk a little while ago, and I was leading over my notes here and so forth, and Vince walked in, and I heard him talking to, I guess maybe it was Noah or somebody else. They had a game they were playing over there. And Vince was asking about the game. And I wished that every one of my grandchildren could have been present, because Vince said something that verified what I've been telling them for years. He said, when I was a boy, we had no toys. And my family's laughing now because they know that I've told my grandkids over the years that, you know, whenever they get something for Christmas that's in a box this big, I always used to tell them, you know, that all of my toys would fit in that one box that I had as a child. And then Stephanie kidded me that over the years it went from a box like this to a shoebox down to a matchbox that would hold all of my toys. Well, the fact is, when I was a kid, you didn't have toys. You had sticks. You made toys. I heard him talking about making a phone out of a can, you know, with a string on it, that kind of thing. Well, you know what? I was always thankful for all that stuff because I didn't know any better. But I had a cousin whose parents were quite wealthy. And when I would go over to his house, I would leave just full of lust. Because he had stuff that I never even knew existed. He had the first electric train that I ever saw set up. He had the first, something as simple as Lincoln Logs. I said, man, where did you get those? I didn't know. You see, the point in all that is this. I never miss those things. You learn to be thankful for what you have and where you are in life rather than always focusing on what you don't. And the problem with our society today is that so many people are so in tune to this privilege idea of having something for nothing that they fail to be thankful for that which they do have. And they come to expect things just as a result of being. Now, I want to talk to you about some things that we as saved individuals. By the way, I believe that, and I would say you could never make a 100% characterization, but I have seen over the years that people that are saved and people that study their Bible, understand the Bible, I have never seen those people become overly wrought about the political system of this world. They may be concerned. They may try to get people to vote and that kind of thing. But having said all of that, we understand that there's something far beyond all of this that is far more important and far greater and is eternal. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful." Be ye thankful. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You see, if the majority of your thankfulness resides in being thankful for the things that never change, then you won't be unthankful about those things. I've never had anybody stand up and give a testimony and say, "I am really unthankful that I ever got saved. This has just been a miserable life." I mean, come on. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Notice what Paul says there in verse 15. One simple little verse. "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." Wow. What a verse. We know what that unspeakable gift is, don't we? It was the gift of salvation provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the more you read and understand the Bible, the more your thankfulness grows. You see, if you believe that God's saving you because of something you did, you're not going to be nearly as thankful for that as people who believe that salvation is totally and completely by grace. If you believe that God is saving you because He chose you over somebody else to be saved, you're not going to really be that thankful for your salvation. But if you see yourself as a lost, rotten, no good, filthy, dirty sinner that deserved to go to hell, that deserved nothing, but as we talked about last week, the mystery of His will, that we've been made part of the family of God, that we've been adopted into the family of God, if you see yourself as a person completely and totally undeserving, then you are going to be thankful for that unspeakable gift of salvation that came through what somebody else did and not what you did. That's the danger of preaching a work salvation. It causes people to put their reliance, their faith, and not only that, their appreciation in who they are and what they are. And people walk around like, "God could just have never gotten along without me being in the body of Christ," and that kind of thing. A prideful, haughty, proud attitude. There is none good. No, not one. You're no, as Brother Moore used to say, you're no good, your mom and daddy are no good, and your grandparents are no good. None of us are worth the gunpowder take to blow us into hell. If we got what we deserve, we'd all be in hell. And I know when you preach that, sometimes people don't like that because they like to think that, well, maybe there's a little good there. Well, sorry to tell you, there is none good. Now, are we instructed to do good? Yes, we are. And the Lord Jesus Christ in us is a good thing. But in our flesh and in our ability to be saved, had it not been for the unspeakable gift of the death of Christ, then we'd be lost and on our way to hell.
And to take it even a step further, as we read last week in Ephesians 1 and 2 there, and talking about the mystery of His will. Not only were we unworthy, but we were never in the promises made to Israel and those that blessed Israel. We were strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope, without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now that's something to be thankful for, folks. That's what we talk about. That's why we call it grace. That's why God calls it grace. Unmerited favor. Because we got what we didn't deserve. And we should ever, always be exceedingly thankful for that unspeakable gift of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's something that we can be thankful for no matter what. Not only that, look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, if somebody beside you goes to sleep, just punch them, because I was told I'm going to have to do real good today to keep everybody awake after that breakfast. And I don't know if I'm succeeding or not, but at any rate, if you see somebody fall asleep, just nudge them a little bit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, and he's talking about their faith, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Now notice, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We used that verse again last week because we were talking about our inheritance, the fact that we've been included. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. We are part of His body, and we are to give thanks unto the Father. Why? Because He made us meet. He made us what we needed to be in order to be acceptable to God. That's why He said, we've been accepted in the beloved. There's nothing you can do in your flesh to make yourself acceptable. And you know, that's the problem with so much of the world today, is that everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to, you know, to be liked. Well, that's not the case. But with God Almighty, to think that we are His, and that He did it all, we can give thanks for that blessing of being in Christ Jesus. Not only that, look back in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, one of the mysteries that we talked about was the mystery of the catching away, where Paul said in verse 51, I show you a mystery. And that mystery was that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. He goes on down through there and talks about that, and he says in verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But notice the next two words. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we sang that song, there's victory in Jesus. Well, there's not just victory in this life. There's victory over sin, death, and the grave. And it comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said we ought to thank God because we've been given the victory. We're not under that curse of death any longer. Oh, our body is, but we're going to live forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have, we're not looking forward to, we have right now eternal life. We're in Christ Jesus. We're already there. We're already seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where did it come? It came through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says there in verse 58, therefore, in light of, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, I've thought many times about how it was that Paul was able to go and suffer through all the things that he suffered. The Lord Jesus Christ, obviously, he suffered at Calvary. But during his earthly ministry, those 3 years, there was some suffering. But Paul's suffering, it lasted through his entire ministry. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown into prison. He was naked. He was hungry. He was cold at times. And yet he was able to say, I know how to be abased. I know how to bow. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Why? Because my beloved brethren, he said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why was he able to go on? Same reason we are. Because we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now you see, if you look at your labor for the Lord through the eyes of men, it may appear at times that it's vain, that there's no real result or very small result, but that's why we are told that we don't look at the things which are seen, we look at the things which are not seen, those things which are eternal. Your labor for the Lord will never be in vain. You might do a lot of things in this life, like over there in Ecclesiastes, where he said, I built vineyards and had men singers and women singers, and I had everything my eye could desire. And he looked at all of it and he said, vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Well, see, that's the eye, through the eyes of the world. But in what we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, it is never in vain. We give thanks to God because he hath given us, he's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look in verse 12. We studied this several weeks back. And Paul talking about his ministry. He says there in verse 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit. In other words, Paul was depressed. He was upset. Why? He says, because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. Now notice the next two words, or next five words really, in verse 14. Now thanks be unto God. He went from just a few words saying, I had no rest in my spirit, to saying, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. You see, we can look at physical circumstances and feel really defeated. We can look, and that's natural. I mean, that is absolutely the way that we are. And it happens to all of us at some point. But Paul says there, as he said, he giveth us the victory. He said, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. We're not always successful in the... You see, Paul's not talking about triumphing in Christ in the sense of being successful in the world. I mean, after all, look at the end of his ministry. Read 2 Timothy chapter 4. See how many he had left that stood with him. Not very many. He would have been considered and was considered by the world at large there a complete failure. But not in the eyes of God Almighty. He said he causes us, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So there are things in Christ. Paul said we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we should be thankful for the blessings that we have in Christ, our position in Christ, the fact that our salvation is in Christ. But there's something else that I found about the Apostle Paul that he was always thankful for and mentioned it on numerous occasions. Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1 verse 15, Paul writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, he says there in verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." You know, there's an awful lot of emphasis today on the spiritual gifts, the speaking in tongues, and the healings, and the laying on of hands, and all that kind of stuff. And I believe all those things were in the early church and went away, as Paul said they would in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But I believe that one of the greatest blessings that you and I have in this physical realm today, in the world today, besides the spiritual blessings that we have, I believe the greatest physical blessing that we have are other people, other saints. And I really believe that with all of my heart. I believe there's comfort that comes through that. And Paul says, "I heard of your faith." Now, Paul had been at Ephesus. So these people were saved after Paul had left there. He said, "I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, and I cease not to give thanks for you." You see, sometimes, folks, it's hard for us to thank God for people that maybe we have some slight disagreement with or some problem with, and we're so quick to criticize and be negative and have our feelings hurt that we fail to give thanks for all such. I want to say to you, I thank God for every individual that loves God's Word and preaches salvation by grace. I thank God for the Baptists that preach salvation by grace. I thank God for anybody that takes a stand for the Word of God, particularly those that take a stand rightly divided, preach the gospel of the grace of God. And we ought to thank God for one another, and we ought to express that thankfulness every opportunity that we have through the things that we do, say, and the actions of our lives. "I heard of your faith," he says, "and I cease not to give thanks." Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says in verse 2, "Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Instead of always being ready to criticize and run people down, try just thinking about the things in their life that you're thankful for. You know, I used to do some of these marriage seminars and things like that, and have done some marriage counseling for people that needed it. And one of the things I've always tried to encourage people to do is to look at the things in people they may be having difficulties with, whether it's a spouse or whatever, and focus on the things about that person that you're thankful for. I remember reading one time about a couple that was, it was a true account. It was a kind of a case study type thing. And this woman was complaining about her husband. And she was talking about, she said, if I go lock the doors, he goes and checks, make sure they're still locked. If I turn off the lights, he goes and makes sure they're turned out. Said, he doesn't trust me to do anything and so forth. And so the counselor that was talking with him said, well, what first attracted you to your husband? She said, he was so responsible about everything. And the very trait that attracted her to her husband after they got married became a real nuisance to her. You see, she quit focusing on that which she was thankful for and started looking at the things that were not. You know what that did? It caused a problem. Once she saw that, she overcame it and so forth. The point in this, folks, is that people are going to be people. And we're different. And we have different personalities. And we might not always like the things that other people do. Well, rather than always being at odds and always being angry and always clashing, look at those people and be thankful for what the attributes of those people are that God can use and can be a blessing through. Thankfulness one for another. Look in 1 Thessalonians, or Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 first. In Colossians 1, verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of love which you have to all the saints. Look over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, First Thessalonians 3, verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. What thanks can we render to God again for you, he says. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see, folks, this thing of thankfulness, it's not just something that should pop up at Thanksgiving time. The Bible has much to say about it. And the reason that it was included over there of one of those things that was going to be prevalent in perilous times, and it's lumped right in there with being unholy, is because an unthankful attitude will cause people to, number one, not appreciate the grace of God, and number two, not appreciate those people that are of like faith and not be to them the blessing they could be. Be ye thankful, the Bible says. And we should. And you know, it's like so many other areas of our life. You can choose to focus on the things that you're thankful for, or you can choose to look at that which is bad and negative and always be down rather than be encouraged by the things you're thankful for. I thank God this morning. That's why I enjoy hearing people stand up and give testimonies of what they're thankful for. Thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful that one day I walked through the doors of this church on a Sunday night, and I heard a man preaching. And that night, I heard for the first time, not really a whole lot of doctrine. The man preached on where are the dead. But I heard for the first time a man preaching from the King James Bible, and he believed what he was preaching. I'm thankful that some men came to my house and sat down with me and showed me the truth of the Word of God. And I'm thankful that through the ministry of some people preaching that and teaching that, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, as did my wife. And I'm thankful that I learned how to rightly divide the Word of truth. But you know what? Above everything, and not above salvation, of course, but equal with it, I'm thankful that I was born in the dispensation of the grace of God. Because there's no other age in which I would have been born that I'd have been saved. I know me. Be thankful. We have much to be thankful for. And I know we have many difficulties in life, and many people are facing difficulties in life. And we're not talking about this attitude of, you know, not caring about anything. But if we can keep our focus on that which we have to be thankful for, it'll be a great source of comfort during our greatest time of need. Would you stand me for prayer?